Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, Sign Guy and QT with you here on another Sunday afternoon. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there in the listening audience. Really quickly before we jump into things, if you're looking for some pro wrestling today, Kentuckiana Die Hard Wrestling happening in Jeffersonville, Indiana at the arena. You have AWE in Atlanta, Georgia today. And up in our neck of the woods, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, Oregon. And today we are celebrating rookies. We have with us some fine rookies out of the professional wrestling ranks. So I will introduce them. First of all, representing a few different promotions, including Lucha Volcanica, SCW, and a few others, we have Phantasma Ekis. And out of the state of Tennessee, I believe we have with us Barrett Stout. So welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi.
And let's start off with Phantasma Ekis. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to getting into wrestling and who trained you?
I've always been pretty into the lucha style just because it's a little bit more aerial and acrobatic. And pretty much ever since I could remember, I wanted to do it. And when I was in about the eighth grade, I found Lucha Volcanica and started training there almost immediately. And their head trainer is Jose Gomez. And I've been training there for about 3 years now.
All right. Barrett Stout, can you tell us a little bit about what got you into pro wrestling and where you went to break into the business?
Hey, what's up, man? Well, I mean, ever since I was like a small child, I mean, it was everything to me. And I was about 13, I think, and I seen a sign for the school of Morton. It's Ricky's pro training school, and I was like, oh my god, I have to do this. So I signed up, and I was only 13 at the time, and now I'm only 15, and I am the youngest X Division champion on the whole East Coast, so it's pretty awesome.
One of the aspects that has been around in wrestling for a very, very long time is that the rookies have to pay a lot of dues. They have to do a lot of the grunt work needed to put on a wrestling show. A lot of rookies have multiple jobs within wrestling promotions besides wrestling or refereeing or managing. A lot of fans don't necessarily see.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of paying the dues, trying to earn your spot in the wrestling business. Long-held tradition. Oh, Phantasma Ekis, let's start with you. What's it been like as a rookie doing the dues paying and trying to solidify your spot in the wrestling community?
I definitely had to pay my dues. I'm not complaining at all. I personally love it, helping with ring crew, setting up and taking down. And then, of course, like you mentioned, a lot of rookies have had to ref, and you actually taught me how to ref, and I did that for a little bit. Also managed or valeted for quite a lot of people. So I definitely agree with rookies do need to pay dues because it's how you earn respect, really. Show up early and set up and stay later and take down and help out and it helps you earn a lot of respect. I do it at every show I possibly can.
Barrett, same question to you.
Oh man, I'm pretty sure every single show that I am, I'm pretty much a part of. I'll always try to like help out or, you know, like set up or anything or, and I've always like I always have to take heed if I'm in a tag team match or I have to take a lot more bumps or something, but it's all cool and it's all just a cool part of it, and I'm excited about it because I've just begun a long journey, and I'm very, very blessed, and I'm very thankful for it.
Phantasma Ekis, you're a little bit unique as far as rookies go, especially up here in the Pacific Northwest. Your training is primarily with a lucha group, so you're learning the lucha libre style, but you also wrestle on shows that have more of an American style against opponents that don't really do the lucha style. So you're kind of doing a combination of styles. Has it been hard for you to learn how to go back and forth on your styles during the actual matches in front of the paying fans?
It definitely is, because a lot of people don't really understand how lucha works or like how to switch back between left and right. Thankfully, I've had opponents that understand my training and how I was brought up, and muscle memory is something I do struggle with, in the sense that I can't switch back and forth between right and left as quick as a lot of people can. But I do think it does set me aside and makes me stand out, because going wrestling more brawler type wrestlers, I can do that, and I can do all the high flying, and that does make me stand out a lot, I think, and I do get a lot of compliments on it. I'm just very grateful I've had opponents that understand me and understand how I was trained, and that they're patient enough to help me learn and do anything I need to do or want to learn. So it definitely has been a challenge going to different shows and not having people I've trained with that know what I can do and what I'm capable of, and having to re-explain myself at every show.
All right, and it looks like we have another guest from the 360 area code. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, my name's Tev Stewart, wrestling out at SCW right now, training under Von Hess. Yeah, just working out in Squamish, Washington right now. I'm a pretty fun time out there.
Absolutely. You've been doing very well. I've been on shows with you.
Thank you.
You right away were paired up with Tank Stewart, and you've been in title matches. You've been wrestling some pretty big names like Kevin Sullivan. What's it been like in such a short time being able to get into title matches, get in there with all-time legends, and do a lot of big things so early in their career?
Well, I'm definitely very grateful for all the chances that I've had so far. You know, SCW is a great company. I honestly didn't think I was going to move up in the company this fast. I thought it was going to be years and years before I got my hands on a belt. But it just goes to show, you put in your hard work, you do everything you're told to, and you'll just get chances from the bigger guys up in the company.
Now, Barrett, you talked about being out of the School of Morton, which is an extremely reputable school, and your trainer is one of the more famous tag team wrestlers of all time, but he's also one of the more famous cruiserweight style wrestlers of all time. Do you think that having that school to go to and that training is going to be more beneficial to you than if you had gone somewhere else to do your wrestling training?
Oh, man. Oh, of course, dude. Like, he is so amazing inside and outside. I mean, he has the greatest personality I've ever talked to. And he's just, he has so much knowledge. And it's like, it just keeps pouring out and pouring out. And it's like, wow. It's like, I'm training with a big legend right now. And it's so crazy. And it's like, holy crap. And I try to, like, all the time, just to, like, stay as humbled as I possibly can, because it's like, wow, I'm training with the real Ricky Morton, because I grew up like a huge, like, Rock and Roll Express guy, and it was so crazy.
Absolutely. Not a whole lot of better trainers out there, I think, than Ricky Morton. And we have been joined now by another guest of ours. I believe we have Adam X with us. Adam, welcome to the show. Doing very well. Welcome. And could you let us know what got you into professional wrestling and who trained you to get into professional wrestling?
Repeat that last question. I'm sorry.
Could you tell us what led you to decide to get into professional wrestling and who trained you for wrestling?
Oh, okay. Well, what led me, man, is that I was always into wrestling since I was a little kid. You know, you can probably hear that story 1,000 times by everybody, but I don't know, man. The guy that really got me into it was Rey Mysterio Jr. back in his WCW days, and I have kind of an open mind, so I wanted to. You know, I wanted to mix my style with other things. Instead of just, you know, American wrestling, I want to mix strong style and lucha libre and a few other things. You know, I actually wanted to go to Europe and learn catch-as-catch-can. But who trained me was a man by the name of Dash Venture, and I'll always have respect for him for that. He was actually pretty legit with his training. A lot of the things that he had shown me how to do, and a lot of the drills that he had me do, I had seen in a lot of other places and a lot of other videos, you know, that I had watched on YouTube and whatnot, and how, like, guys like back in the WWE, how they would train and stuff like that. So a lot of the things he showed me were pretty, you know, pretty on par for what I had seen, and it did well for me, obviously. Everywhere I go, when I'm in the ring, I do my best to put on a good match, and I get a lot of good props for it. I'm not gonna sit here and try and act like I'm like the best in the world or anything, but it's definitely helped me a lot.
I would concur. He is fairly good as a trainer, definitely.
Oh yeah, he's a great dude too. Like, if you get, like, I got to know a side of Dash that not a lot of guys get to see, and he can be really funny if you catch him on a good day. But we'll leave it at that.
Phantasma Ecky, you have done a little bit of traveling so far. You have wrestled in different parts of Washington. You've wrestled in Oregon, and you've gone up to Canada. For someone so young in their career, especially on the wrestling end of it, what's it been like having the opportunities to go to so many different companies?
Somebody was talking. I didn't know we were all online at once. I'm sorry, my mistake.
Oh, that's all right.
It's been like, for me, it's been pretty amazing. I mean, my family's mostly very supportive of me, so they're very happy with what I've been doing as well. When I get to, like, a new locker room or a different promotion, sometimes it's kind of hard to, like, get respect because I'm so young. A lot of people don't take me seriously. I've definitely had people go off on me in a locker room saying I don't belong there, that I'm too young. A lot of those people are actually cool with me now because I've seen what I can do. And I'm fortunate enough to have a lot of people who are supportive of me. But it is kind of scary. I have really bad social anxiety. So, like, sometimes when I go to another promotion, I'm just really nervous and I almost don't want to go, but wrestling's always been my dream, so I do. And like, it's kind of scary because people don't take me seriously, and a lot of people just don't respect the fact that I'm young, and I just don't think I'm serious about the business, but I'm just like them. I just want to wrestle and live my dream personally. After when I get to a show, they're kind of stand off, and I was taught locker room etiquette. I have to go up and say hi to everybody as soon as I get to the show, and I do the same thing before I leave, and I always get a lot more respect when I'm leaving because they saw my match, they saw what I could do, and they understand that I'm just as serious as them.
That'll go a long way, showing the respect, definitely.
Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What were you saying, Jason? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, you're good. There is for someone that's starting out like yourself, were you taught locker room etiquette as far as how to approach the veterans and what you should and shouldn't do in the locker room, or was that something that you had to figure out on your own?
Who are you talking to?
To Barrett.
Oh, yeah, man, he's really strict on that because, I mean, like, hey, man, Bobby, a meeting to be coming up to the school tomorrow, so you're not in any way disrespectfully, I'm always safe and all that, and him with the absolute utmost respect. So it's crazy, and it's really cool that I can like talk to like and Robert Gibson and like all those really really talented people. It's awesome to me.
And Mateo, what about you? Were you ever taught locker room etiquette and things to do outside of the ring as far as being a professional wrestler, or was that something that you had to learn?
A lot of it was just looking at, like, around in my surroundings, seeing what everybody else was doing. Because, like, when I got into it, nobody walked up to me and said, oh, this is how you treat vets, this is how you act when you're out of the ring. It was mostly just going off what everybody else does and just trying to like fit in a little bit. And like my biggest fear coming into it was that I was going to disrespect people and like I wasn't going to be liked in the business, and that was one of my biggest fears. But yeah, a lot of it was just looking around, watching what everybody else was doing, and just trying to treat people with the most respect that I could.
At SCW, you have a lot of veterans that have been around for a very very long time. Were there any veterans in particular that you tried to observe in the locker room to figure that part of the business?
I definitely watched Randy Taylor a lot, just watching what he was doing backstage and everything, watching how he like presented himself to everyone. He's a very respectful guy. Like when he gets there, he goes around, shakes everybody's hands, asks how they're doing, and he's a really nice guy, and I don't know, he's just really respectful, and I think that's pretty cool.
Adam, I know that you were in wrestling for a while and then took quite a long time off before coming back, so you had been around enough to learn the locker room etiquette and that type of thing, but when you were very first starting out, had you been taught anything about how to present yourself as a professional as far as locker room etiquette goes, or was that something that, like Mateo, you had to figure out on your own?
Well, honestly, it was a little bit of both. See, before I started off, I'm best friends with a guy known as Theo McCall, otherwise known as the Maverick, and he was trained by Randy the Ken Taylor, and we used to, when we were back in high school, he used to take me to his backyard, and he would show me some basic stuff. And he actually taught me the handshake and how to, you know, how to show respect and all that in locker room etiquette and what it means behind that and what that handshake means. You know, what it means to go up and shake everybody's hand when you walk into that locker room, no matter where you are. You walk up and you shake everybody's hand because you never know. Like, you don't know who's a worker and who's not until you've actually, you know, you've actually spent a day at that promotion. And that same hand that you're shaking could also be the hand that one day helps you up when you need it the most. I mean, it goes beyond that, but I'm trying to keep my answers short and sweet. But it was also when I first stepped into SCW, man, I'll admit I was scared shitless. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to cuss on the radio, so pardon me on that one. But
you're good.
There was a lot of guys I looked up to that I wanted to be like. Azul Angel, he goes by a different name, I believe. Dash Venture, of course. Mike Santiago, Aaron Bolo. These are guys that I really looked up to, and I did not want to step on any toes. But, I learned that you want to, you know, you want to be humble at all times, and keep in mind, you know, keep that ego in check, because just because you think that you're hot stuff, there's always somebody out there better, always. And that, you know, that was something that kind of humbled me, was getting in the ring with somebody who's better than you and knowing that, oh my God, you thought you were good, but holy crap, am I bad? You know, it all goes hand in hand, I think, when it comes to respect and all that, and knowing that, you know, you don't want anybody going in there, going into a locker room and acting like they own the place. You know, that's you're not going to get over with everybody else there that way.
Very true. Well, lady and gentlemen, my co-host QT is standing by. So, Thez, help all of you as I pass things over to QT for a bit.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Well, thanks, Sun Guy. Hello, people. My first question is to Phantasma. Phantasma, if you look at the YouTube video, John Cena's WWE debut versus Kurt Angle, SmackDown, June 27, 2002, and at the 1:51 mark of the video, after he had taken the microphone from Mr. McMahon, Kurt says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I might be the poster boy for ruthless aggression. My question is, when you made your rookie debut, who did you face, and who did you face who personified ruthless aggression?" Yes.
So my debut was May 2nd of last year, and it was at the Taco Libre Festival in Seattle. And it was a 6-man tag match. It was me and Avispa and an exotico known as Fabiola Estral versus Chicano, Ruffian, and Trino Verde. And these are the people that trained me and that I have been mentored by ever since I started training. So I was definitely the rookie of the match, and Chicano was the veteran. But I don't know. I was on the faces side, or technicos, and the Rudos were pretty brutal. Like, you know, they were playing the heel part perfectly. They were, me and Avisa were standing on the sideline just watching the match, and they would come up and just pull us into the ring. And, you know, it was girls versus guys, so of course they were playing the part pretty well. I don't even want to say playing the part, because it was, they were pretty stiff, but they were not, like, horribly stiff. And they were just doing their job, and they were being amazing about it, and the crowd loved the match. It was in front of maybe like 400 or 500 people, and Rudos were definitely the ruthless aggression. They did not even care.
Wow, okay. So in your opinion, do the Rudos still personify ruthless aggression?
Oh, yeah. They will bring in candlesticks or chairs or really anything they can find. They just want to cheat to win and, you know, destroy their opponent in the process. They're gentle about it and everything, but they are definitely pretty ruthless and aggressive. It's great.
Oh, okay. All right, now do you know the literal translation of the word Rudos?
Honestly, I don't. I'm I know it means, like, bad guy or, like, negative type person. I know Technicos is good guy and Rudos are the bad guys.
Okay, well, you got the basics down. Your homework assignment is look up the literal translation of Rudos and get back to Turnbuckle Turmoil with this exact, definition. Yes.
Glad.
Okay. All right, very good. You've got your homework assignment. Okay. Now, Barrett, at the 4:34 mark, Kurt is quoted as saying, "I am issuing a challenge to anyone in that locker room that I've never wrestled before to come down here and face Kurt Angle. Come on, guys. There must be someone back there that wants to seize the moment. Now, listen up. There's a lot of young guys back there, future superstars that want to climb that ladder to success. Well, now's your chance to become a sensation, just like me. Well, Barrett, in your opinion, are you already halfway up the ladder to success?"
Is that a question for, was that for Phantasma or for all of us?
That question is for you, yes.
Oh, okay. Honestly, no. I still got a lot of ways. There's a lot to learn, and I've got a ways to go. I don't know. To be honest, I really don't think that I'm successful yet. Because I'm just here in Washington. You know, I'm not known all over the world. I'm not known all over the United States. Just in this little pocket in the Pacific Northwest. So no, heck no, I don't consider myself successful. And I do consider myself successful in the sense that I'm doing what I love to do. But am I at the top or anywhere near the top? Heck no. And that's just another thing that humbles me, is knowing that I've got a long way to go. And to make it worse, I wish I had started off younger. I'm 32 now, and I got into this business when I was at least 24, 25, I think. It's been a long time, but not long enough. You know, there's still a whole lot I want to do and a whole lot I want to learn and a lot of places I want to, you know, get my name out there into. And so, no, to answer your question, like I've said 1,000 times already, no, I don't think I'm anywhere near successful. But that's not what makes me happy.
All right, in your opinion, who are the top three wrestlers you must beat in the next 3 months to move you over halfway up that ladder to success?
The next three wrestlers I must beat? Like, are you talking, like, in the world or just in my area?
In the Northwest. Yeah.
In the Northwest. One day, I hope to actually someday secure a win over Randy the Pin Taylor. Much respect to him. But I see him as one of the best. And to be the best, you got to beat the best. Him, I would like to also go... I'd like to go again with Steve Stardom again. I had a good match with him. I didn't win, but I really learned a lot from just being in the ring with him as well. And, of course, my trainer, Dash Venture. I would like to one day get in the match with him and someday secure a win, you know, because I feel like that'd be a very cool circle for me and very monumental and even sentimental. Because me and Dash haven't exactly had the best relationship, but overall, I hold a lot of respect for him, and I feel like it would be my way of saying that your training paid off, and it did a lot for me.
Now, Barrett, do you ever see Dash Venture stealing one of Randy the Pimp's?
Say that again?
Do you ever see Dash Venture stealing one of Randy the Pimp Taylor's pimpettes?
I'm sorry, say that again. I'm sorry, my phone sucks.
Do you ever see Dash Venture stealing one of Randy the Pimp Taylor's pimpettes?
I'm sorry, man. I heard Randy the Pimp Taylor and pimpettes. I'm sorry. I don't mean to botch this, but my phone sucks. I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
Well, okay, we'll put that question in default. Okay, that's stricken from the book. Adam X, before his match with John Cena, who was making his debut, Kurt Angle had made Hulk Hogan tap out to an ankle lock, and he had defeated The Undertaker. When he made his debut, was it to a champion like Kurt, who was coming off two of the biggest wins of his career?
Say that again? I'm very, very sorry.
Oh, okay. Adam, before his match with John Cena, who was making his debut, Kurt Angle made Hulk Hogan tap out to an ankle lock, and he had defeated The Undertaker. When you made your debut, was it to a champion like Kurt, who was coming off two of the biggest wins of his career?
No, actually. My very first match, when I made my debut, it was against Steve Rush, and I believe the gentleman's name was Lone Star. And it was in NWWA, and I was tag teaming with Paul Cerberus at the time. So it was both of ours very first match, and I remember being treated really well by those guys. But I was nervous as hell. So no, we didn't. I felt like it was something that was just, you know, kind of a, no offense to the guys I was working with in the ring, but for me it was kind of a, you know, just a match that wasn't really very significant, in the sense that it was just like, oh, just another couple of guys coming into the business. You know, we'll see how they go, how they do. You know, that's just how it felt to me. Like I'm not trying to cherry pick here or act like I don't, like I'm not happy that, you know, because these guys were the guys that gave me my, you know, that gave me my stamp of approval to continue on. But it just, I don't know. I don't think it was anything monumental.
Oh, okay. Was one of the advice they gave you as a rookie to never attempt to steal or touch Lone Star's hat?
Yeah. Never do that. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's a Texan thing. You don't ever. My buddy Theo, he actually wears a cowboy hat too, and he has the same thing. You know, you don't ever touch a cowboy's hat. You know, unless you're like his girlfriend or his wife or something, but you don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Just like, you know, you don't lean up against a person's car in the parking lot, you know, somebody's car that you don't know. You don't do that. You know, you don't touch, you know, another man's property.
Wow, okay. All right. Well, Phantasma, as I mentioned, in the YouTube video entitled, oh, wait a second, this is a different one. In the YouTube video entitled Goldberg's WWE Debut, The Rock was fresh off a WrestleMania event win over Steve Austin at Safeco Field in Seattle. He was doing a promo in the ring when Goldberg made his entrance at the 9:22 mark. The chants of Goldberg were at a reported 105 decibels, and all the fun had gone out of The Rock's face, and it was replaced by stolen thunder and concern. Goldberg said into the microphone, "So, Rock, you want to know who's next? You're next." He then speared The Rock. And one of the announcers said, "Goldberg may have just broken The Rock in half with that spear." Well, Phantasma, my question is, when you made your wrestling debut, did you have the fans chanting your last name, and did you deliver a spear that immediately stole the thunder off a freshly minted champ?
Unfortunately, I did not, but I did have the fans pretty behind me. It was my debut, and I had quite a few family members there because, thankfully, my family is very supportive of me. And, you know, all the kids loved the Technicos, and so they were chanting Phantasma and, you know, Abisa, and that was great. I did get to debut a move that I use a lot now, which is a Cascadora Bulldog or a Wheelbarrow Bulldog. I use it in almost every match. And the crowd, like, they were really into it when I did it. We ended up winning that match. Luckily, I cross-bodied onto Chicano and pinned him with Avisa's help. She was holding me down. So, no, I didn't
just
see
let
anybody.
It happen.
Just let it happen. But, no, I didn't get to spear anybody. I did get to crossbody somebody, though, a few times.
Oh, looks like QT's dropped the call, so I will resume the questioning until he gets back. Mateo, you've not had a lot of matches so far in your career. Who today in your area do you most want to face that you've never faced before?
That's a good question. I would love to have a chance to be able to work with Ron Von Hess up here. Just because he trained me. He's like one of the main guys that trained me. And I think it would just be like a really big honor if I could work with him in the ring. Because I really like the way he works. And like he's had like an amazing career. And he's had a lot of opportunities to go work in different places. And I think in such like a short career I've had, that'd be one of the highlights of my career if I could just work with him.
Barrett, I know there's a lot of big names in the southeast part of the country where you're at, out of Tennessee. Who are some of the people that you would most want to face in your career?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Probably like Rob Conway or, of course, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson and just all of those guys, because everybody that I've talked to has just like had a great, great impact on my whole entire career as far as like training and just like all around great knowledge. Like it's crazy.
Mateo, I know that you've been wrestling pretty much locally in your area. You haven't really traveled too much yet. Is the ultimate goal for you to be able to wrestle on a national level, maybe with one of the major companies, or are you looking at more local type of goals?
I definitely want to go nationally, but I know for me, probably won't happen anytime soon just because I'm still, you know, trying to make a name for myself here before I move on to different promotions. But definitely in the future, I definitely wanted to go nationally, you know, go down to Oregon, Canada, all those places, just try and, like, spread my horizons just a little bit.
Barrett, what about you? Do you have goals of eventually taking your career to one of the national companies?
Yeah, of course. I would love to go all the way to the top. It's always been a big dream of mine. But I guess I just have to take it one step at a time and pay attention to all the people that look up to and just train really, really hard. And someday I hope I'll be up there. So.
All right, QT, are you back?
Yes, somehow I got cut off there, yes. This question is for Adam. Adam, in that video of Goldberg's debut with The Rock, the announcer said, The Rock may have just seen his future in the eyes of Goldberg. Well, Adam, I know you didn't get to wrestle Dash Venture in your debut, but was it in the back of your mind, if you had seen Dash Venture in your debut, to have the announcer say, Dash Venture may have seen his future in the eyes of Adam X?
Repeat the question again, please? I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I got it most of it, but I don't understand what you're trying to ask.
Oh, okay. Well, when The Rock and the Goldberg first met in the ring, Goldberg gave The Rock the spear, and that was quite the debut by Goldberg. And one of the announcers said, The Rock may have just seen his future in the eyes of Goldberg. If you had wrestled Dash Venture in your opening match or made your pro wrestling debut with Dash in the ring, was it your goal to have the announcer say, Dash Venture may have seen his future in the eyes of Adam X?
That would be nice, but no, my goal would have been to actually show Dash that I belong in that ring just as much as everybody else who has come before me has proven. That's been my goal the whole time, actually. I didn't really have any grandiose plans of, setting the world on fire. I just want to wrestle, and I just want to get out there and do what I love to do. And I wanted to show that that I'm just as good as anybody else out there, and I can be just as good as anybody I admire. To answer your question, that would be nice, but no, I didn't really think about things like that. The only thing I always think about from day one to now was just getting better. How can I get better? How can I improve my performance? How can I get better on the mic? Things like that. I'm always looking to improve. Instead of staying stagnant and stuck in a little bubble like everybody else seems to do in this day and age. Not a lot of people are open-minded. But I'm sidetracking the question, so I apologize. But to answer your question, no, I think to think like that is a little too ahead of my time.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Adam, I have seen YouTube videos of Dash Venture jumping on a trampoline while doing dumbbell flies. Is this one of the workouts he had you do while training?
No, he didn't have me do anything like that. He had me do a lot of basic drills. He had a ring in his barn, a little barn area in his yard, and that was the SCW ring at the time. And I'd drive out to his place, and we would do a lot of basic drills, like rolls, a lot of how to bump, lip bumps, face bumps, or front bumps, as you like to call them. He taught me about psychology, just a lot of just the nitty gritty. Like, he got right into it. So the weight training and stuff like that, I ended up later on in my lifetime, much later on, I started taking up, because I was always kind of a scrawny kid.
Oh, okay. Now, was this ring in a heavily wooded area and kind of gloomy?
Well, yeah, it was. I would say heavily wooded. It was a lot of space. He had a lot of land where he was living. A lot of just big wide open land. Lots of trees around, and I'd hang out with him there, and he'd show me the ropes. We'd study tape. And I spent some time with the guy, and I got to learn a lot from him. And
oh, right.
Yeah.
Did he ever offer you an Olympia beer?
Excuse me?
Did he ever offer you an Olympia beer?
An Olympia beer?
Yes.
I do remember drinking a few beers with him, but I don't remember what kind they were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's another. That's a story from another time, but I'll say this. Dash is funny as hell when he's drunk. But we'll do that for another time. But no, I don't remember any kind of beers that you gave me. I think it was just a Budweiser or something like that. Your typical go to.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Phantasma, in the video, WWE Stone Cold meets the NWO. Stone Cold is walking backstage when he comes across the New World Order. The New World Order offers Stone Cold a six-pack of ice-cold beer. Stone Cold says, "What, that's for me? You heard I like to drink beer?" And then the NWO says, "We heard you like to drink a lot of beer." Then Stone Cold says, "I'm not thirsty," and he tosses a beer over his head. My question is, if you hadn't met the Rudos, backstage at the very beginning of your career, would you have thrown the six-pack over your head if the Rudos had offered you a six-pack? That's my question.
Oh, I probably went so. I did join them. I don't think I'm supposed to answer that truthfully.
But,
you know, I would.
Well, everybody, we got a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure all of you have time to plug and promote and say anything that you would like. So if you want to say anything to the listeners, plug all of your stuff, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, anything that you would like. We will go ladies first, so Phantasma Ekis.
So please follow me on Instagram and Twitter as Phantasma Ekis. And there's a CW benefit show on the 25th, so next Saturday at 4 p.m. at La Pobla News in Bremerton. And then July 23rd, Lucha Volcanica is having their annual South Park show. Details will be released later on the Volcanica's social media pages, mostly on Facebook, and I'll be sharing it as well. So any info for that will be released soon.
All right. Barrett, what about you?
My Twitter is at I'm Barrett Stout, and my Instagram is THEBarrettStout, and I have a Facebook as well, and it's BarrettStout, obviously, and also check out the School of Morton Facebook page. I mean, it has all kinds of crazy, cool stuff on there. I'm having surgery 29th, so I have to keep everybody pretty heavily updated on that, and I'm shooting a documentary that'll come out in probably October or September, so check that out. And everything is pretty much on my Facebook or Twitter, and so yeah.
All right. What about you, Mateo?
If you want to follow me on Facebook, it's Mateo Tucson, T-U-S-O-N. Or if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's tattoo underscore T-E-O. And then June 25th, we have a show out in Bremerton, a benefit show for some girls that were hit here in Bremerton, I think it was. But yeah, that's about it for me.
Adam X, how about you?
If you want to follow me, I'm on Facebook, which is pretty much my only social media. I'm kind of low-tech to have anything else, So you can follow me at Adam Haugen, H-A-U-G-E-N. That's my actual last name. Or you can look for Adam X. I actually just recently made a profile for Adam X on Facebook as well. That's A-D-A-M, the letter X. Yeah, and then on Saturday, like Phantasma said, we have a show for SCW coming up on Saturday for La Pobla Nitas for SCW, which the doors open at, and I think it's a free show. So if you're in the area, come out and see it. You'll be able to meet me and Phantasma and Mateo and have a good time.
I will also be at said benefit show, so definitely come check out these fine rookies and a lot of our veteran talent at SCW. I want to thank all of you very, very much for taking time out of your day today to be with us. Enjoyed having you all. I will see most of you next week. And Barrett, best of luck to you, definitely, as you continue on at the School of Morton.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Luck. Thanks for having me on. Much respect to my wrestling brothers and sisters out there.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
All right.
See
definitely.
Later.
all of you for being on today. Happy Father's Day again to all the fathers out there. If you're inclined, get out there, support some local independent pro wrestling today. Lots of shows out there. What better treat than to take Dad to see some local professional wrestling? I will be at NWA Blue Collar later, so come say hello if you're in the North Portland Eagles later tonight, and we will talk to you next week.
All right.
And what did I do? Look at the wedding with a purse and see those jeans.